This morning, we are called in this Advent season to wait. Uncomfortable, isn't it? Waiting. Very uncomfortable. We don't like waiting. Much at all, really. I want to take you back for a moment to when you were a child and you had to wait when you were playing hide and seek. Has everyone played hide and seek? Okay, good. Just checking. So remember when you asked to play hide and seek and it was someone's turn to look for you and you were sent off. And do you remember the apprehension that you felt depending on who it was that was counting? Because if it was someone that you could trust and you knew they were going to count to 100, you knew you had enough time to find that special spot. However, if it was one of those sneaky friends of yours, or perhaps a sibling, they would count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, instead of 1, 2. And you knew you only had a very brief few moments to find that spot where you were going to hide. And then you would rush off as soon as the person said, hide. And you would go and find a spot, and then you would wait and wait, depending on how good your spot was, of course. You were waiting whether to be found or perhaps not. Do you remember what it felt like to be found first, how disappointing that was? Or do you remember the crushing feeling of never being found? Did that happen to any of you? It did to me. A really good spot, and the game continues, and they forget that you were even there. It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible waiting. And then, of course, there is the being, and what your response is to that. Whether you run out and say, here I am, you forgot about me, and you find out the game's still halfway through, and now you're an idiot. Or because you stayed there waiting and waiting and waiting, think you were going to win no matter what. Or you were found first. Our response to that can be very different depending on how we feel at the time, our circumstances, the comfort of the space in which you were hiding. I once knew someone who hid under the stairs in our parish hall and found a nice little sort of spot and kind of curled up and fell asleep. And we couldn't find them at all. It was very comfortable where they waited, and other people were splayed against a wall somewhere, and it was very uncomfortable, and it was much more difficult, perhaps, to wait. Well, that's kind of what Advent is like. It is three things, really. It's our reaction, our expectation, and our response. Our reaction really depends in our lives and in our faith on who brings the news that we must wait and how they deliver it. For instance, John the Baptist, he brings the news that he's not the one and you're going to wait for somebody else, the Messiah who's going to come. Now, John was not a reassuring character. I can't imagine how people even followed John. He must have been incredibly charismatic or terrifying. That works too, as we know. But here he was eating wild locusts and honey and crazy hair and yelling at people all the time and then baptizing them, dunking them in rivers. I don't know how many of you would rush to follow him. His nose must have been so compelling that people actually did. They reacted by his news and by following him. But many did not. So if the person who is bringing us good news is the opposite, someone who is someone we trust, someone we care about, someone we have a relationship with, no matter what we are waiting for, can be quite different. This past week, we weren't waiting for more of the church to fall down, but it did. And the news brought to us about that. You wouldn't be in here if it wasn't safe, by the way. It is. You can tell. There's lots of things holding this building up, more than there were last week. But the news, when it came to me, was in twofold. Some of it I reacted very well to, and other parts of it I did not. The part that came from the people I really trusted, who had our backs, and who were reassuring, I took that news much better. From the people who said, well, you just have to wait a little while longer, and I wasn't sure what they meant by that, and whether we'd be in here this Sunday, what was going to happen, I did not respond as well to that. So how the message is delivered in Advent, how the message about who we are to be, what we are to become, what it is we are meant to do, how that comes, who it comes from, makes a huge difference in us. And then there's the expectation. Will it be worth the wait? Now, in our faith and in our life, we honestly don't know what the end is. We have all sorts of expectations about what we are waiting for. In our faith, 2,000 years later, more than that, we're still waiting for Jesus to come again, for God to make manifest here in our lives. But we don't really know what we're waiting for, do we? However, in Isaiah today, it says, every valley will be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, the uneven ground will become level, and the rough places a plain. Well, I don't know about you, but in my life, if that were true, I'd be really happy about that. I'd be really excited about God being there, making things all okay. Feeding his flock like a shepherd, gathering lambs in his arms, and carrying them in his bosom, and gently leading the mother sheep. These are good tidings. These are the things that our world needs to hear. Countries that are now at war, places that are burning, people that are being broken. That is all good news. And if we're waiting for good news, that's pretty exciting. It says that in God's, with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. Okay, this is where the expectation part gets a bit tricky. One day does often feel like 1,000 years, especially if you're waiting for good news, if you're waiting for something to happen. It also feels like that if you're waiting for terrible news. You're waiting for that result from the doctor's office. You're waiting to find out whether your bank account's going to balance at the end of the month. You're waiting for maybe someone to come home for Christmas. That can take a very long time. And what our expectations are determine how we wait in those moments. For instance, I've been waiting for John to come back. He doesn't look at all like John the Baptist, just saying. And John actually told me this morning, so I can use this. He's now blushing. And that could be a good or a bad thing, depending what happens. John coming back, that is. If I didn't know John so well, my expectation would be quite different. If John and I didn't have a great relationship, it would be quite different. You know, I might worry that y'all love him more than me, and you probably do, and that's okay. But I know John can handle that, and so can I. See what I mean? It depends on the expectation. Is it going to be a good thing? Is it going to be something uncertain? Is it going to be something bad? That changes that feeling of waiting, that hiding in the dark, the comfort of that moment. And then there's our response. What are we going to do in the meantime? What are we going to do? Not how are we going to feel, but what are we going to do? Peter says to us, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, while you are waiting for God to come and make all things right and just and full of love and mercy, strive to be found at him, by him, at peace. without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Well, I'm not sure how peaceful we are when we are waiting. But it is an option. We can be like that friend of mine who fell asleep under the cupboards, under the stairway. That's certainly at peace, or maybe just avoidance. Well, or we can strive to be found by him at peace. We have to work for peace. It's probably rarely been as obvious to me as it has in this past week. Our world is not at peace anyway, and then people seem to want to make it less at peace. That is hard for us to understand. That is hard for us to be part of. But we can model a different way of being. We can model peace in our lives and in our hearts and in our relationships. Doesn't mean that we shove things under the carpet, doesn't mean that we run away, but it means that we honestly deal with them so we can reach a new place. Can we be without spot or blemish in our reaction to the waiting? Probably not. Probably not, because neither you nor I will get it all right. When we're waiting, sometimes we get pretty impatient. I certainly am. Very impatient at times. I'm expecting to go on a sabbatical in May, and I'm weary right now. I'm tired. And so I keep thinking, May 1st. May 1st. And it's not that I don't want to be here, it's just that I need a rest. And so I'm not patient. Yesterday, I spent probably 4 hours researching what I was going to do in Scotland. This was not a good use of my time yesterday. I should have been working on a sermon, for instance. But that response to waiting for me actually may have worked out better. Because sometimes in our waiting, we have to be active. We have to be doing something. We have to make a plan. Because even if that plan isn't what actually works out, we have some control over our thinking. It gives us a format, a structure, something to do. And sometimes when we're waiting, we're just going to be completely all over the map. We're not going to know what to do at all. We're going to be like the 10 engineers standing in here on Tuesday looking at the wall for a few moments. We feel like that, the waiting. But our response is, what shall we do in the meantime? Do the best we can and don't wait for everything. We can work for peace. We can work for resolution. We can show love. We can be there for one another and hold up the walls of our lives to keep us standing and together solid. Because it doesn't really matter what is happening around us. If we are strong in our hearts and in our faith, and we are strong with each other, we are good. So, next time you play hide and seek, I hope you will sometime again, no matter how old you are, may you react well to the person who says you have to wait a while. May you expect with hope in your heart. And may you wait with patience. And remember that when we aren't patient, God is patient enough for God and for us. Amen.